Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to Bipcoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both a website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends if you can't chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, coin.org.
This is the Zombies Government New Podcast, where we subvert and ridicule the undead Leviathan that is the state as it withers and rots.
Zombies Government New Podcast is covered by a BIPCOT no-gov license. Use and reuse by anyone except governments or their agents is A-OK.
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 What's up, buddy?
I don't know if A-OK was too light.
A-OK. No, man. It's A-OK with me.
Okay.
What's up, Drew?
Man, you really set the tone with that intro, so I had to light it up, man. With A-OK. A
little bit of levity.
That's cool.
So, yeah, and I want to, we should add that the BIPCOT, no government license, has been modified.
Has it?
Yeah, it's the new version 1. Dang it, I'm not prepared here. 1.12 is out now, and it allows quote unquote libertarian indulgences issued by, Michael Fien and all the originators of this license. Basically allows low-level or, you know, it's called like the mailman clause. It lets people who are like low-level government employees, you know, listen to the BIPCOT license without violating it and being horribly shamed in public.
But. Okay, so mailman can listen to this show.
Yeah, or, okay. You know, basically anybody who's not pointing a gun or, you know, pointing one of the state's guns at people or issuing orders to those people. So,
okay.
It's a good little modification, I think. So,
I think that's good. That's fair.
Listen up, mailmen and dog catchers and
garbage men.
Yep.
Whatever else is out there.
So, dude, it's been quite a while, man. I'm a little embarrassed by the absence here.
Yeah, we got to shake the cobwebs off.
Shaping off the cobwebs, man. Get that rust out.
Yeah, it's what been like 5-6 weeks here? What have you been doing with your life?
Living.
Besides not podcasting.
Besides not casting. Podcasting and not casting. You know, in our profession, Drew, it's a little busy this time of year.
I'd like to blame the season that we're in.
'Tis the season.
And, I mean, I don't know anyone whose job doesn't pick up this time of year. I'm sure there's a few.
Yeah.
Well, God, who did I talk to? I was talking to someone. Gosh dang it. I can't remember. Now I sound like an idiot for starting a story I'm not going to finish.
Burying the lead, man.
Yeah, great. No, it's what we do on my show, so let me drag yours down with us. It's just a brutal time of year to keep up with anything.
Yeah. Well, we survived Black Friday. That's a... And I think only a couple people didn't this year. I don't know what the death count was relative to years past, but...
The stampedes and the trampling?
Shootings.
Was there shootings, too?
Yeah, dude. In Jersey.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be Florida.
Yeah. It's usually one or the other. You hit, you know, you got a 50% chance, usually.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jersey has some strict anti-gun laws. How did that happen? That's so weird.
Yeah, crazy. You know, just ludicrous that people didn't obey the laws, really.
Yeah.
I remember I was enjoying a nice morning coffee on the patio, and I was watching a bunch of YouTube videos of Black Friday. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, these people are animals out there. I can't justify Black. Just wait till Cyber Monday.
Yeah. It's the closest thing to an actual zombie apocalypse that you will probably see for a while anyway.
Yeah.
Until financial collapse.
I have an idea. Next year, I was invited. A buddy of mine lives in Germany. I was invited to go visit him the first week of July, and go do the running of the bulls in Spain. And nice. God willing, if I can afford it, I'm going.
Get that cardio in now, man.
I know. But my plan is I'm going to do the running of the bulls.
Okay. I think you want to go for, is it anaerobic or explosive speed? You know, you want to be able to sprint. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's not a lot of distance thing. You see that bull coming, you want to be able to just kick that overdrive on. And
I'm going to find a high school football coach and just learn how to juke, and maybe I'll psych the bull out. But no.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'll do the running of the bulls, and then a few months later...
Can I have all your guitars if you don't come back?
No, you can't. I'm getting buried with every one of those.
At least one or two.
Here's the funny thing. I'm going to get cremated, but I still want a coffin. I want to be buried with every one of my guitars. I just want to be cremated so I can fit in there.
Are the guitars going to be cremated with you?
No, that'd be crazy. You don't burn a guitar.
So after you're buried, I can dig it up and get your guitars, okay?
Well, yeah, you could, but I mean, my ghost and all the other Mexican cucuys down there are going to haunt you. What I'm getting at, though, excuse me, I was going to...
Worth it.
...do the running of the bulls, then months later, Black Friday. I'm going to do Black Friday, and I'll let you know which one is scarier.
It would be ironic if you survived the running of the bulls and...
But
you know,
I die at Black Friday, then at Christmas time, I'm going to get cremated and burnt and buried with my guitars.
C'est la vie.
Circle of life.
As they say in Spain, c'est la... No, I'm just... Oh, wait.
That's French, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a joke. It's a language humor. So yeah, man, got some new. I got a new cat.
Did you?
Yeah.
What's that? Put your cat count up
three.
To now. Three.
Tres gatos.
It's like two more than you should have.
It wasn't totally my call.
I feel like
obviously.
It wasn't your call.
But no, she's super cute, man. She's okay. She's awesome. She's a Maine Coon, and just really cool coloring. She's pretty sweet, man, but she's been like spraying a little bit, so I don't know what's going on with that. Cats are very territorial.
I thought it was only the male cats that sprayed.
That or she's peeing, one or the other. I don't know. But,
huh.
But yeah, she's super sweet, man. We named her Rey.
You Star nerd.
Wars. It wasn't, that was not my idea totally either.
But you didn't have a problem
with
that.
Well, it kind of
sure.
makes sense because she was actually left behind by a family who, you know, they had to move they had to move out of house to somewhere where they couldn't have pets.
Oh.
So just like Ray, she, you know, she got left behind by her family.
Okay. Hey, that fits.
So.
Huh.
Geek, circle complete, Star Wars and cats. Anyway.
No, I mean, you've successfully made everyone in your family a Star Wars nerd. So
yay.
That's, and it works. I was talking to someone about that today. I told him I just can't get into Star Wars. He says he was really looking forward to Rogue One.
Yeah, I am too.
I was like, you know what? Yeah, it looks good. I'll probably see it. But and we just went on this whole conversation of I'm just not into Star Wars. It was good. It's fine. It's entertaining. But I feel like what I'm missing out on is I didn't grow up with that. I don't have that nostalgia factor. Then he started asking me. He's like, well, I mean, what is your nostalgia factor? And I'm like, I can't think of anything because everything that I used to like isn't a continuing story like they do with Star Wars. They're rebooting it.
Right.
So I don't have a good example of it.
I'm excited for Rogue One just mostly because of Ben Mendelsohn. He's going to play like the Imperial guy, but I had never heard of this guy before, and he's in Bloodline on Netflix.
What is that? I think you told me about that.
It's a great show. I'm almost done with it. I'm like halfway through the second season.
Oh, you did tell me about that. Yeah, yeah.
And he plays like kind of the main antagonist or protagonist. You know, it depends on how you look at it. He's one of the main characters, very conflicted. But, dude, he's an awesome actor. So I think that's – and, you know, Darth Vader's going to be in it. Anyway.
I think they were smart with that to take – it looks like they're taking the – putting the story in the timeline where Darth Vader does exist and – you know, we didn't get Vader in The Force Awakens. You know, bring Vader back.
Some skinny emo punk. No, I'm just kidding. some social justice warrior with a cape.
Even emo hair is popular in the future. That's great.
Or the past. It's a long time. No, dude, it's the past.
A long time ago.
Yeah, in a galaxy far, far away. Anyway,
I'll tell
you what I'm...
Whatever, I'm not a Star Wars nerd.
They should probably tie it back into the last episode and mention that I was right.
Oh, you were wrong. You're going on that?
Yep. The Walking Dead. My prediction came true, which was... To be granted, it's not Nostradamus level. I mean, it was pretty...
No, a lot of people saw Glenn going. I didn't realize...
I predicted... Well, let's go back. I predicted Glenn would die.
Yeah.
And you predicted...
Daryl. Yeah.
So, I was right.
Daryl doesn't even exist in the comics, so I figured they could kill him, and they were going to go for that wow factor. But no, instead, their wow factor was, well, we're going to off two people.
Right.
Abraham did surprise
me. Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert. Whoops. Way too late. Although, dude, if you've been on the internet at all, I don't see you can remain on any social media or even the internet. I don't know how you can be spoiler free at this point. So,
Which one affected or impacted you more, Abraham or Glenn? Like, which one gave you that? Holy crap.
Well, I think the initial violence of the first killing was a shock. With Abraham.
Yeah.
But the fact that there was another, as soon as Daryl, you know, spoiler alert again, as soon as Daryl jumped out and he decided not to kill Daryl, which makes sense because cha-ching merchandising. I knew somebody else was going to die. So as soon as I saw Glenn in the background, I'm like, it's going to be Glenn. Crack. So I think it was emotionally or character wise. We're obviously more invested in Glenn because reasons, because he's been around for longer, and you know, he married Maggie.
He was the one that helped save Rick. Rick would have been dead.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, they have a kid coming, so you know, I have to go with Glenn.
Yeah. Did you think it was going to be Glenn because of the comics, or just because you saw him in the background and you're like, oh, look, this is going to happen? Or did the comics kind of lean you towards?
No, because they veered from the comics so many times.
Yeah, they have.
The only person I was sure it would probably be a major character, and I was pretty sure it would not be Daryl or Rick because, you know, cash cow and main character. So
I really thought they were going to go for that home run.
But I don't know, dude. I'm over it, man. After that initial season, I'm kind of lost interest in it.
Have you?
Yeah, to where like. When I'm watching The Walking Dead, I'm almost more excited to watch Bloodline or some other shows that I'm trying to, you know, slowly catch up on. Because I don't have time to watch any shows. I have like one or two nights that I watch shows.
Yeah.
So, but I was like, I want to just get back to these other shows because they're actually better. So
I need a new show to binge on, and Bloodline's one of them. You told me about some show that was on Amazon, I think, an Amazon original that. I need to look into.
There's so many. Man in the High Castle. Goliath's supposed to be good. Anyway.
But Walking
can
Dead.
Go on and on.
Yeah, but. Walking Dead, I'm not out of it, man. Negan is such a fun character, but
he is.
You hate him, but you like him because he has that weird charisma.
I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan's
portrayal
of him.
Yeah.
But it's almost... it's almost just becoming a drudge. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
It is.
A slog.
I feel like it's going to be It's going to be a long season.
So.
Season or two. I don't know how long they're going to keep them until,
right.
You know, the inevitable, the kingdom and all those Amazon women that have that camp and Alexandria. Everyone's going to band together and fight. Yeah. You see it coming.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a while. So it may drag on a little bit.
But one thing I did like was on one of the episodes, and again, spoiler alert. So if you... haven't watched like the third or fourth episode, just go ahead and skip a minute, where Negan goes to Alexandria for the first time. Mm. And he's wanting some supplies, you know, give me half your shit, because that's what, mm-hmm. you know, government does.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't get to choose which half. Yeah, I'm taking what I want. Right.
Give me your shit or I'll kill you, government in a nutshell.
Yep.
And they're rounding up all their firearms. And there's a couple missing, and they know this because somebody had kept an inventory of their weapons, aka a gun registry. So the Walking Dead, I don't know if they did it directly or indirectly, but gave you a great example of why you don't have a gun registry, why you don't list your guns, because someday, you know, you register your guns on a piece of paper and then the government comes and takes them.
Yeah.
So,
if you think about it, those football players really have it figured out. Don't register your guns, guys. What was it? Plexico Burris shot himself in the leg. I think his gun was unregistered.
No, and I was listening to the Tom Woods show today, and he had Cody Wilson on, who was the one of the first guy who created basically a 3D model or blueprint for you could use a 3D printer to print firearms.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So he was on there, and that was really cool. He runs a company. God dang it, I forgot what it's called, but it's a Ghost Gunner is the program or whatever. So pretty soon you won't have to worry about that. Hopefully the registry, but yeah, don't register your guns, people.
I'm wondering though,
and take them.
You're saying don't register your guns, but is it? I'm guessing you probably think it is. Is it worth the risk of getting caught with an unregistered gun and having Negan cave your skull?
I don't
for
know
it?
Because I lost all of my guns. In a boating, they all fell over the side.
All right, Dexter,
of the boat. So,
all right.
Now I'm gonna look it up.
That's cool.
So anyway, you know who was actually stockpiling a bunch of weapons? How's that for a smooth segue? The Arizona Department of Economic Security head, who was recently fired, was recently found to be storing
a lot.
50, probably. I think most of them were handguns, but
yeah, I didn't see
50 handguns and 80,000 rounds of ammo.
80,000. I didn't see what if there was a list of what guns he lost or what guns he had taken away from or.
Well, I think
if it was handguns or semi-automatics or anything like that.
I think the question we need to be asking is why did the Arizona Department of Economic Security, which is like the largest in terms, I think, of employees, government agency.
Yeah, I think they have like
7,000. Why do they need 80,000 rounds of ammo and 50 handguns?
You can never be too careful.
So I don't know if he was.
Maybe they're just bad shots. He employed a bunch of stormtroopers.
I don't know if he was setting himself up as a Negan or preparing for the zombie apocalypse. But
ooh, I got dark.
This is kind of crazy. Like, and it's not like an isolated thing. You know, there's so many almost every government agency or alphabet agency out there has a SWAT team or a you know what I mean?
Yeah, some
the
kind
Department
of
Education, has a SWAT team.
Yeah.
What? Gotta
protect those kids, man.
50 guns, 80,000 rounds of ammunition seized at Arizona DES on day director was ousted. And he apparently was fired for mass firings and taking some people to Nogales to get boozed up at a work party.
Yeah, there's a bunch of shady things going on. It said he bought a gun with public funds.
Yeah, and he bought. They had to go to a Scottsdale home and retrieve a firearm that he bought for his personal use using state funds. So
yeah,
your tax dollars at work, people.
So in all fairness,
and he makes like I saw his salary. It was like over $200,000 a year.
It was like $215,000 a year.
Yeah, but he couldn't afford a $400 or $500 handgun.
No, he couldn't do that.
He's got to use your tax dollars to buy it.
In all fairness, that gun is part ours, and I would like it, please.
You may, hopefully not barrel first, right?
No one would do that. That's crazy.
No, I mean, they made the argument that I think there was in San Bernardino there was that that couple that attacked the Department of Economic Security is essentially in charge of handing out assistance to poor people in terms of I guess welfare, whatever you want to call
it. They needed guns for that.
Well, I could see maybe you. I mean, I'm not saying you don't need any security, but do you need 50 guns? Do you need 80,000 rounds?
That much? No,
dude.
No,
that's an insane amount. I don't know if they were all hollow point or full metal jacket, but doesn't specify. But so they couldn't evolve. They could say, they're training rounds, but I almost guarantee you they were all pretty much.
Live.
You know, hollow point or anti-personnel rounds. So
yeah, it's kind of scary when an department like that. You know, you got to oust the guy that's in charge, clean house pretty much. Probably they have an interim guy. They're going to get a new head guy in there who's probably going to bring his own people in there. Much like our idiot president-elect is doing, hiring all the wrong people for the job.
Is there a right person for the job?
No, there it is. There. Thank you,
No,
David.
There's not.
There he is.
Nope. There's not. Anyway, who's the right person for the job then?
Oh, I don't have that answer. I'm not the president.
Who's the right...
No, I don't know. It's just...
Who's the right person for the job of... who's the right parasite for the job, I guess is what you want to... You know?
Yeah. No, it's just shake-ups like that always freak me out. It's when you mess with the foundation of something and then there's always that ripple effect that happens.
Says, the department actually had private security and he fired him or got rid of him and hired, you know, his own. And it said, the agency put some of those officers in special light brown uniforms. So they're literally like brown shirts.
Oh, really?
With pants that resemble military fatigues. The phrase "Dictat Deus," Arizona's motto that means God enriches, on one shirt sleeve. And the uniforms also had a yellow smiley face. A symbol that Jeffries had incorporated and used for employee t-shirts and other promotional DES items on the back between the shoulder blades. So they'll kill you with a smile.
Yeah, great. Yeah. They have the Arizona motto on one part of the arm, and then the other arm's going to have a nice day. With a smiley face. Freaking creepers. Clown from Spawn had a smiley face on him, too. He didn't seem that nice.
So contrast that with there was that OSU attack, the Ohio State University attack, a few days ago, or a week ago, whatever, where some guy drove, you know, he was apparently radicalized, you know, upset about people's treatment of Muslims abroad and at home or whatever. So he decided to mow people down with a vehicle and go on a stabbing spree. The funny part was all these, you know, and to be fair, I think initially it was reported as an active shooter. So a lot of people jumped the gun, you know, never, you know, they didn't want to let it. Hey-o.
Punk. What an awful pun.
Thank you, folks. Pun intended. and jumped the gun and we're blaming it on, you know, oh, well, here's the Second Amendment again, you know.
Yep.
And not mention it. It's obviously it's OSU. It's a major campus. So it's obviously a gun-free zone.
Yeah. Wait,
but it turns
this just in. It wasn't a gun.
Turns out it was a guy driving with a knife or a machete or a knife and a car. No gun was involved. Mm-hmm. And he was only stopped because somebody, a quote-unquote good guy, but an off-duty, I believe he was an off-duty cop, actually had a gun. So
there you go.
There's your lesson for you there. Never let it go to crisis, go to waste. right, when it comes to taking away rights, but... and then never let a crisis go to waste when you want to arm yourself at people's expense. If you're the director of a government agency, you know. Oh,
yep.
These people attacked these radical radical Islamists attacked somebody in San Bernardino. So we better get 100,000 rounds of ammo and a small arsenal. But don't carry a gun on college campus.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Plebes.
Kind of always. I mean, it goes back to that Orlando nightclub shooting. It's you go pick on the places that are gun free zones. It's easy targets.
Yeah, or free fire zones.
Or
criminal enablement zones. I'm fond of calling them.
I like those stories of just when someone just goes on a tear like that, and then there's just that guy that has their concealed carry permit or something, and you know, whatever it is, they defuse the situation, or they even defuse the situation before the situation happens.
Right, and there, you know, that's the whole trope or the whole lie is that, you know, good guys with guns don't, you know, don't stop actual crimes, but a lot of active shooter scenarios have been stopped. I think more active shooter scenarios have been stopped by a civilian, if you will, or citizen concealed carrying or carrying a firearm than have actually been stopped by police or whoever responding to them.
Yeah, I believe it.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of times those people, they actually, well, obviously, like you said, gun-free zones, they choose those targets because they're soft targets. They know there won't be, or there's less likely to be any kind of armed resistance to what they want to do, which is cause mass casualties and get their name in the headlines and whatever else. So, yeah, but that, I mean, that puts the lie to the whole, you know,
yeah,
trope that no, yeah, you know where I'm going with this.
I was hanging at my folks' house. My sister and my brother-in-law, they stay the night there with my nieces and nephew. And my sister, you know, my sister, her family, they were out of the house, but their stuff was all still there. My mom goes in the room, and she came out of the room like with this look on her face, and she said, "Oh, there's a gun in the room." Like, "Oh, yeah, Tony's gun is here?" "Yeah, and oh, God, I just had to move it." And she, like, it sounds like she just has some weird stigma about guns.
Yeah, I mean.
And she's like, "I don't know why he'd bring it here. You know, he says he carries it in case he ever comes across a coyote or something, because he lives kind of far out there." And she made this big thing about it. I'm like, why not? It's his right to carry it.
Not a human smuggler, like an actual coyote.
Right, yeah, not one of those guys.
That's there, yeah.
But she made the whole, and I didn't want to start a whole debate or conversation with her, but in my head, right, I'm thinking, why? It's his right to carry it. He went through the right channels to obtain it. And God forbid, if something were to happen around him, you know, in the vicinity, he's equipped to hopefully defuse the situation. Why?
I think, you know, it comes to a point where you have to decide if you're going to be responsible and provide protection for yourself or follow, quote unquote, the law, you know. And I think we probably talked about this a little bit before, but, you know, I don't think anybody has a right to just because of feels or because they decided to pass a law to disarm you or to, you know, prevent you from protecting yourself or your family, or if you so choose, you know, other innocent people around you, you know. If it's on private property, that's another story, you know. I mean, they have it's their property.
Yeah, totally different.
But to, you know, just to disarm people en masse because, you know, in a public space because you, you know, think that they're not trustworthy enough to carry guns, or, you know, only the police should have guns, which how has that worked out historically for everybody? That's, you know, you, as an individual, I think you got to make the choice whether or not to you know, follow that or not. So
mm-hmm. Yep.
So yay,
cool light topics today, guys.
Speaking of going off half-cocked, how about Trump's tweet, the Twitter
about burning flags.
Gonna burn me some flags. It's getting kind of chilly here, Drew. There's a cold snap coming. Did you see that? I saw it on the weather. There's gonna be below freezing temps for like almost the whole continental U.S. CONUS. Might be time to warm ourselves by, you know,
moving elsewhere,
burning some flags.
Oh
no, no. I don't advocate. Okay.
Leaving the country.
Let's go back. We'll okay. Let's reel it
I'm
back
sorry.
Here.
That's where I took it, guys. I'm sorry we went
So
there.
Trump came out a week or so ago. What? I don't know when it was. Anyway, a few days ago. Can't keep up with all the idiocy. And said, nobody should be allowed to burn the American flag. If they do, there must be consequences. Perhaps loss of citizenship or a year in jail.
Yeah.
Where's my safe space? Trump was triggering Trump.
Where'd that idiot say? 3 days ago.
Yeah. So yeah, a few days ago, 3 or 4 days
so
ago.
So Tuesday. Yeah. Loss of citizenship or a year in jail. Those are your choices, guys.
And I got to say, you know, if all it took to lose your citizenship was burning a flag, it could be tempting. Because Well, do you know what you have to do to go through to like renounce your citizenship if you were so inclined?
I'm sure you it's have a to whole pay. Process.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's quite expensive. It's cost a few thousand dollars. So say you know, if you were to go to work abroad, right? Because a lot of people go work in other countries or whatever. America is one of the only countries that forces you to pay taxes on income earned abroad. So say you go to, you know, China, decide to teach English or whatever. Mm. All the money you earn abroad, you have to pay income tax on, or, you know, federal taxes on. America's like one of them. I think there's like another one or two, and they're like banana republics or, you know, kind of, I don't want to say third world, but, you know, very small kind of corrupt countries. So, I want to say Eritrea, I believe. I'm not sure, but anyway, so yeah, there you go. So, and if you want to actually renounce your citizenship, it costs I've seen anywhere from like a couple thousand to over $4,000. And if you're very wealthy, they'll actually tax a huge, I think they actually do tax a larger amount of your income.
Huh.
So,
or you can just,
I'm just saying, I don't advocate burning the flag as a strategy.
No, but
to promote freedom or liberty.
A $20 flag at Walmart's a lot cheaper.
If you're looking to renounce your citizenship, that's, you know,
it's an option.
It might be a cheaper option, depending on how, you know, but I just think that's, it's so sad, or it shows kind of how thin-skinned or sensitive a lot of people are about that subject. And I mean, I get it. It's a symbol, quote unquote.
People are quick.
And it's a symbol because it's been drilled into your head from day one by
kindergarten. You say the pledge,
right? You know, not education, but indoctrination centers, you know, school, a.k.a. public schools. Mm. You know, I pledge allegiance to the flag, you know. Yeah. So I get that knee-jerk, visceral reaction to it that some people have. But I think if you really, you know, it's supposed to stand for freedom, right? Stars and stripes stand for freedom, you know.
Freedom. What is that?
Well, if you think about it, it would represent the freedom to express yourself.
Yeah.
And whether if you choose to express yourself by burning a piece of nylon or cloth that was made in China, most likely, that just happens to be in the shape of the United States flag. Mm-hmm. That's your right, man. That's your absolutely God-given or natural right. Mm. That's not a right given to you by a government or anybody else, you know. Or, and also it's a private property issue.
Yeah.
You know, if it's your,
you paid for it.
Yeah. If you walk down to Walmart and you buy your American flag made in China and you come home on your property, I'm not saying, you know, don't burn it on the sidewalk outside of Walmart. You might have some issues there.
Yeah.
But, and you want to burn it or whatever with it on it's on your land or whatever, that, you know, that's your right. That's mm-hmm. your property. You bought it through voluntary exchange. Literally, nobody has any say over it. You may not like it. You may be, you know, offended by it, but
yeah. But it's a lot of people are confusing "quote unquote" patriotism with freedom. You know, the handful of athletes and everything with the kneeling or something during the national anthem, or the burning of the flag, or hell, even people. You know, way back when, it was probably earlier this year because this year was that messed up that they were hanging the Confederate flag outside their house in the South. They were saying it stands for rebel pride, no, it stands for racism. All this, I mean, it just boils mm-hmm. down to it's your personal freedom to do it. You may disagree with it. I don't care what your opinion is because this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
But everyone feels like they have an opinion over how you're going to run your life, and that's where we get lost in it.
Well, yeah, and it's a symbol, right? So the stars and bars, or the, you know, the Confederate flag, is a symbol of, it's a symbol the same way that the stars and stripes are, or the American flag is. You know, it's going to mean different things to different people.
It's interpretive, you know, absolutely.
I've never lived in the South, but I understand for a lot of them, it symbolizes kind of not necessarily racism, but that independent spirit, or you know what I mean, or the South, Southern pride, quote unquote, or whatever.
Yeah,
you know. But obviously, to somebody who
may not know better, or
right, you know, to a black or African American person, it may mean something else. But as long as it's on their private property, or you know. Mm-hmm. You literally have no say to it, you know. Your rights don't end where your feels begin. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I did disagree with it being, like, in front of a state building, but that's just my opinion.
I just disagree with state buildings. So I don't even get to the flag. I just look at the state building and go, oh, man. Yeah. That's more offensive to me than any flag.
Yeah, the whole thing. That's a whole conversation I hate
having.
Talk
about just an eyesore.
Everyone's interpretation of things. And this is kind of off the topic of government a little bit. That's why I hate talking about religion. Everyone thinks their specific religion is the right one. You know, we can all say, I'm Christian, 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 all down the road, if they are. But your Christian is not the same as this person's Christian. It's totally different. Don't be
well, in a lot of judge. Ways, in a lot of ways, government, the belief in government is absolutely equatable or equivalent to
absolutely
a belief in religion.
So totally is
a lot of the same kind of rituals and
yeah.
It's a. I'm not gonna say religion is necessarily fiction, but
no, a lot
there
of,
is an element of faith.
Faith,
in,
yes,
in all almost every religion. So you know that. That religion would not exist without people willingly believing in it, and neither would government. So.
I bet you know it's funny. I based a lot of my religion on Dogma, the movie.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you met the
yes, the Kevin Smith movie. I think Chris Rock said something in there about yeah. It all just got confused when everyone started putting it into categories and columns, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I like that. Just have just a good positive belief and go from there. But a lot of people with government and the country, they kind of pick and choose what things they want to be passionate about or what things they care to listen to or and what are things they just want to ignore and harp on otherwise.
I have nothing against atheists or anybody who chooses to believe whatever, but it, and at least in my experience, all anecdotal, but some of the most fervent or militant atheists and that I've come across have been the most hardcore statist, you know?
Really?
So, yeah, at least that's just my experience. I'm not extrapolating it or saying that, you know, not trying to collectivize, but, you know, I just think that's funny. So they basically exchanged, you know, a belief in one religion for another, but they don't view it that way. So love the statist, hate the state. You know, that's my motto. Increase the peace.
You know, since you started doing the show about a year ago, you've opened my eyes to a lot of things, and I kind of realized what things I have more control over, what things I don't have control over. And you know, I'll pay my taxes, I'll do things all within the, you know, the
surf. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I'll get my money where I need to. But right. I understand a little bit better.
You got to determine what you want to, how you want to resist, or
where I can pick and choose my spots, where my freedoms are.
A lot of people choose to kind of be a tax resister, and I respect that.
It's a ballsy move.
I got a family. You know, I can't. I don't think it's the most effective thing.
Would you?
I don't know. I don't know because I don't necessarily think that's the most effective way to go about it. You know, I could see like,
oh, it's a good way to put it. Effective. There's other ways you can battle it.
Absolutely. You know, if I think you can make the argument that if everybody or enough people were doing it en masse, you know, what if we all, you know, you've seen the meme, or what if we all just stopped paying taxes? Well, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But that's not likely to happen. So
yeah,
if you were just doing it by yourself, I respect that as a moral or philosophically consistent choice that you make. But I don't know. I think for the effect that you have and the potential repercussions, I don't know if it's worth it, especially if you have other people who are depending on you to provide a, you know, life for them, or
pick and choose your battles, guys.
No, you know, do what you want, but I'm just saying for me personally, you know, yeah, taxation is coercion, extortion, it's theft, but
hey, don't tell Negan that.
I'm gonna pay what I have to pay because, you know, I need to be out here supporting my family. So
roads.
My road.
Roads.
yeah. I'm with you.
Anyway, we get back to the flag thing, you know. Trump's tweet is one thing, and I can't even make up my mind if he's just trolling or trying to like energize the base, you know, his base that elected him, or, you know, throwing some red meat to his supporters, or if he's that's something that he actually really believes. I can't see him being that patriotic. Like,
no, I think he just knows who his audience is. Right. He's talking to the lowest common denominator.
But to me, like, the thing that's most disturbing isn't the fact that he tweeted that. It's the eager hordes that are willing to like horizontally enforce it. You know,
isn't that scary?
That you read like all these people who post like, yeah, if you desecrate the flag, I'll stomp the you know, they'll stomp my flag, I'll stomp your ass, or you know what I mean, like,
yeah.
And that's not even the worst one. I've seen ones where they're like, you know, burn my flag, I'll, you know, skull F you and gouge your eyes out and skull F you. And I'm less like, whoa, man, like, you just went fucking full status, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, or actually, I saw a couple of videos on YouTube of people actually taking flags from protesters. So committing theft, because that's, you know, like I said, and I don't think burning the flag is a great strategy. You know, I think it's exactly the opposite of if you're trying to convince people to come to liberty or think about things in a different light, burning the flag is like the you know, 180 degrees from probably what you should be doing get that message across. But if you're just trying to be an a-hole and or an agent provocateur or just, you know, kick the hornet's nest, and yeah, you know, do that. That's great.
Go for it.
But there are some videos where people were stealing flags from protesters. Right there, you just committed theft, you know.
Like, or you kind of ruin your argument a little bit. when you
don't have the moral high ground anymore. You've stolen somebody's private property. Right. You know, that's, they own that, and you just literally stole it from them. Or even worse, have violently assaulted them,
mm-hmm.
pushed them, whatever. So, you know, and these are the same people that will make fun of like the left or liberals, you know. Progressives, I guess, for, you know, wanting their safe space and being triggered. And it's like, you don't see, like, you know, how close to that you are. Yeah. You're the exact same, just on the opposite side of the horseshoe.
Yeah, yeah.
So, there you go. Trump's tweet, not so dangerous. The willing people, you know, the willing mass of people to physically assault people or steal people's property or whatever is a much bigger problem in my mind.
No, it's weird. This this is going to come across a lot worse than I mean it to, but the sludge of people, just these people are getting more of a voice. Not to say they aren't, you know, they aren't entitled to having their own voice, but they're, like you said, they're picking the wrong spots. They're rising up. They're becoming more vocal and more times than not, a lot more physical than they need to be. They're not proving the point. They're not proving their point in the way that I feel like they should. They're just being really brash about it.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, the flag represents freedom, but if you use that freedom in a way that I don't approve of, I'm going to smash you.
And that's when someone else's life is affecting me. So I'm going to take it into my own hands and I'm going to hit you in the face.
Right.
And it's just, there's way too much of that going on.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. Listen, girl. Florida, don't do it, guys.
Did you just assume my gender? Did I?
I'm sorry, Caitlin.
Oh.
Buckle up, buckaroos.
All right.
Oh, take it down to legit level. Thank you.
Too legit. So, yeah, get off it. Stop worshiping the flag.
Yeah.
If you
worry about yourself,
That's no, what I can't you do don't it. Have to worry about yourself, but be consistent, you know. Obviously, you have to be your own best advocate and take care of yourself, but, you know, don't let other people's actions trigger you to the point where, you know, yeah, I hate that I actually said trigger you, but, yeah. You know, that's what's happening. You're letting people using their freedom of expression get to you to a point where you're willing to violate their rights. They're not violating your rights.
Exactly.
They've done nothing to you.
Don't give up your own high ground. Pick your spots.
Yeah. And just stop worshiping the flag. So
yeah,
that's all. It's that simple.
Done.
So I think the bottom line is that if you say, I believe in freedom, but, you know, like I've gotten in several, you know, face beefs.
Hearing that but just makes me roll my eyes. I believe in freedom,
but
oh, here he goes.
Then you don't really believe in freedom. You know,
yeah.
If you there's no qualifier there.
I believe. In
I've gotten several.
Asterisk.
Yeah, read the fine print, right? I've gotten and let me off some face beefs with people.
What, you?
No.
You know what's funny? You don't really instigate them.
I control with the best of them, dude.
You kind of. I mean, you do a little bit, but you say your piece, and it ruffles some feathers.
I don't know what the best of them, but I control. I got some troll skills.
I know you've
skills.
Lost some friends on Facebook.
Then they weren't really friends, were they? Because I don't insult people. I never insult people personally. You know? I'm mostly try to adhere to or stay away from the logical fallacies. You know, I usually try to not resort to ad hominem, personal attacks, or, you know, straw men, all that. I'm not perfect, obviously, but I don't ever really come out and say, you know, you're an effing idiot, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I try to debate the issues rather than the person or what have you. But, you know, like I said, people have this visceral gut reaction to it. And, you know, I got in this thing and they're like, why? You don't have to be so philosophical about the flag. And I'm like,
philosophical?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, I'm philosophical about everything because, you know, I have a philosophy, and that's what I try to like view everything through. So,
yeah, you ever listen to Socrates?
Socrates. Nice, Bill and Ted.
Thank you.
Whoa. Which I still think we need to be them for Halloween one year.
I'm on my hair's going to be long enough by next year.
Hopefully before the remake, because I'm sure that, yeah. Are they still going through with that? The remake of Bill and Ted?
I don't know how far they are on it, but I remember hearing
it's gonna
that
be bad.
It's going to happen.
That's one thing I respect about Back to the Future is, like, the producer or whatever.
Who, Zemeckis?
Robert Zemeckis? He, like, got buried with the rights to it or something. Like, you know what I mean? He's like, I'll take it to the grave. He's like, they'll never remake that, and they don't need to because it's perfect.
It is still holds. I mean, graphics aside, the story, I love how the story holds up.
So,
anyways. Back to burning flags.
Yeah, you know, that's where that. Anyway, I was talking about philosophy. You know, that's how do you not have a philosophy? Whether you acknowledge it or not, you have one. You know, whether it's consistent or not, you have one. You know, and that's just what I try to do is I try to acknowledge that I have it and be consistent with it. So, and if that triggers you or, you know, makes you run for a safe space. Because I insulted the symbol of your God and the state. And sorry.
Yeah.
So
they get worked up over that easily, though.
But, you know, it's the horseshoe, man. It's, you know, talk crap about, you know, liberals and, oh, liberals are pussies and, you know, need a safe space, but burn my flag, I'll, you know, stomp your ass. But, you know, speaking of social justice warriors, how about oh man, I saw this post today. I had no idea that this troll, Lena Dunham has a podcast. Everybody, you know, actually, what's that? Everybody has a podcast. I think there's somebody on Twitter, and that's their or it's either a an actual podcast or somebody on Twitter, and that's their name. Everybody has a podcast, which is pretty much true.
That's funny. I like that.
I know, right? It's great.
I don't feel good about promoting my podcast anymore because I feel like every other person, oh, yeah, I have a podcast. You should listen to it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm not going to go to your party.
It's like MySpace.
Yeah.
Podcasts are like the new MySpace, but hey, you should still listen to this one.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I have a band. We're playing this Friday. You should check it out. I'm not gonna. Yeah, a podcast like that. I'm always afraid to cram my podcast on people's throat. It doesn't stop me.
Still got to do it.
Yeah. But anyways, Lena Dunham.
So yeah, Lena Dunham has a the star and at least the creator. I know
she's in it. Girls, she
I don't
writes.
Know. Anyway, she's a horrible social. She's a horrible person.
Spot for a pause, by the way. She's horrible.
She's, I mean, you know, that's my opinion, man. You know, horrible social justice warrior, horrible, statist, Hillary Clinton lover.
I wonder how many people bandwagoned on Hillary just for being a woman.
Well,
a lot of them.
What were your choices for supporting Hillary? Either because she had a vagina,
she was friendly.
Because she wasn't Trump.
She was real friendly to the LGBT.
And that's about it.
QT.
Well, no. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah.
No, she wasn't. Yeah. No, she wasn't. Because back in the 90s, she supported same-sex marriage. And now that you mention...
did she?
Hillary Clinton, she supported an amendment to ban burning the flag, too, so...
Oh, no kidding.
There you go, Trump supporters.
I'm only going back to a pair of...
In like 2005, I think. Yeah,
There's a gay couple, friends of mine, who are both huge Hillary supporters. And a lot of it was because she was a little more liberal on gay equality.
That's...
I didn't realize she flip-flopped on that, which, figure, a politician flip-flops.
Well, Barack Obama did while he was in office. When Barack Obama ran on traditional marriage, his first term, and then I'm pretty sure it was after he got elected to his second term, he went, oh no, you know, everybody should, you know, which is the correct position to take. I don't think the state or the government should have anything to do with marriage at all, but.
No, you know, that's.
Regardless, regardless of how you feel about gay marriage, whether you support it or not. The state shouldn't have a say in it, neither should you. So just mind your own damn business. Yeah. But
back to crusty women.
Back to some crusty.
Lena Dunham. You and I listened to a bit of her podcast. That was my first time listening to it. And as
I feel like I need to talk about how I got into podcasting eventually. I don't know if right now, but I've listened to a wide variety of. I used to listen to a lot of talk radio. I listen to NPR, listen to Rush, to Michael Savage, to podcasting. I listen to a lot of other, you know, the Freedom Fiends, huge fan of them. Tom Woods, all these guys. So I think I've fairly well read. I run the gamut. Bill Burr. Yeah, I'm trying to get away from like just straight up like liberty podcasting. You know, Bill Burr's got a great podcast.
I love his podcast.
Mark Maron.
Maron's podcast, I like his.
Yeah, dude, it's funny.
Maron's got a good one.
Another guy, Sword and Scale, which is kind of a cool one that I heard about through one of the fiends was talking about it, which is kind of like a true crime or justice centered thing. Anyway, so there's no shortage of like, you know. Anything you want to listen to.
Yeah, there's content out
Game of Thrones podcast I listen to sometimes. So I heard about this podcast today that I'm not going to name it and I'm not going to play it, but it's Lena Dunham's podcast and you can find it if you really want to. It's horrible.
It's really dude, bad.
Like I said, I listen to NPR and it actually, like, their NPR's production quality is good. Like, audio quality is great. The way they, like, structure stuff. You know what I mean? The way they intersperse like stories with music and mix it up. You know what I mean? I could enjoy it if it wasn't so publicly funded and statist. And it is kind of, you know, back to all things considered. I've been neutered and I have literally no offensive opinions whatsoever.
Welcome.
but, you know. Lena Dunham's podcast sounds like the audio production quality of like NPR.
Not even content, but
none of the potentially redeeming qualities. It's like, it's not even a fucking podcast, in my opinion. Like, it's like her and her guests like reading pre-written pieces. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if you were just reading a goddamn script.
I go to Audible and listen to a set of short stories. Her podcast wasn't fun to listen to. And there's a lot of growing pains in podcasting. I'll give you that.
Well, Lord, I'm still in the middle of them.
However, she's an actor, writer.
Dude.
Now a podcaster. Like, she knows how to speak to a crowd. She should know how to speak to a crowd.
And think of the resources she has in terms of people and money. I think somebody was saying on one of the comments, like, BuzzFeed helped produce it.
Yeah, she has she has people around her. That first episode shouldn't have been as bad as it was.
But you know the great thing is it gave us the reviews.
My God. Go to iTunes and...
Or, yeah.
Like, I don't want to...
We're looking at the iTunes one, but...
Here's the thing. I don't want to encourage people to seek out her podcast.
No, just read the reviews.
But if it... For the sake of reading reviews... No,
I think they should listen to it because it'll... Then it won't just be us slagging it. I mean,
that's fine. Listen to it, guys.
I put on as much of it as I could stand, a couple different episodes, and it was humorless. It was... sterile. It was, like I said, it was just them basically reading, like,
by
it's almost like a state. It's like Pravda, you know what I mean? Like, you're just just reading like pre-approved state approved snippets of what you can read with, like, you know, it's supposed to be heartfelt or meaningful, but it just really comes out like dry and effing boring, you know what I mean?
By the time I fell asleep for the second time, I knew it wasn't for me.
The first time might have been a fluke. So let's read some reviews, man. Let's have some fun with this.
All right.
So, yeah. This is the part of the show where Dave and Drew read reviews of Lena Dunham's podcast on all things considered.
Poorly written and produced by most podcast standards. If you're looking for something intellectual stimulating, please look elsewhere.
Waste of Time by Mozata. If you're interested in misguided, mindless, and boring rambles from a Hollywood, air quote, star who's completely out of touch with reality, this podcast is for you. Personally, you'll find more valuable and intellectual conversation by watching paint dry or listening to the ZGY podcast.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Boring, mindless Shameless ramblings. Plug. Lena is still all about herself, which is nothing to be proud of.
This one kills me because it's like, I have no idea, by Lucas. It might be Luca SWJ. Oh, okay. Social Warrior Justice. Lucas WJ. Not quite a social justice warrior.
I like this one. This one's at least a little constructive.
Whoa.
Sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Were you still going?
Dude, don't. Did you just roll right over me?
Pardon me.
I have no idea whether or not this show is going to be any good, but he gave it 5 stars. Neither do the people who've spammed. Whatever. So I don't know if it's going to be any good, but I'm going to give it 5 stars because of bias.
Okay.
I like her.
This guy gave it a 1 star. Says, I didn't find this particularly funny. Although I have enjoyed some of Lena's other works, this did nothing for me. It's like, so they acknowledge that, you know, Girls on HBO is good, yeah, but her podcast is shit.
Is that damning with faint praise?
Yeah.
Probably, but...
This person said, 1 star rating is generous.
Oh, God.
So. Lena Dunham continues to surprise me in a bad way. Don't waste your time. Although I'm not sure she'll still be recording her podcast now that she has to be... Now that she has to move from the USA. Oh, my God.
Did she burn a flag? Oh, too soon? Triggered. I love this one. Proving that brevity is the soul of wit. The title by John Sowell. Meh is the title.
Meh.
And meh is the review.
Not worth your time. Gave it a chance and couldn't even finish an episode, which is about where I was at with it.
Yep.
She is absolutely lost. I feel like that's the most harsh one. She's absolutely lost.
She's reading from, like, I mean, at least what I've heard.
There it sounds scripted, maybe, every bit of it.
Well, no, yeah. Say maybe there's episodes that I didn't hear where she was just talking off the cuff. But everything I heard was, like, literally, you know, it's like she's reading from, you know, the Social Justice Warrior Handbook. So I don't know how you get lost doing that.
I don't know.
I mean, I get lost on the show, but, you know.
Which, granted,
this is all freewheeling.
I understand. My podcast would probably get a lot of one-star reviews for our first episode, too, but we had no idea what the hell we're doing. This is a lady who's been in the business for a while.
Yeah.
Who should know how to speak to a crowd and
format
a show.
The amount of resources at her disposal, potentially.
Yeah.
Just by her name alone, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. She's in the business, for Christ's sake.
Right. She'd forego any. There's no excuse, dude. You know. It's like the liberals always like to say, check your privilege, you know.
Check your privilege.
She had privilege. She started her podcast with privilege, man.
The listeners don't see my hand gesture. Still can't do it. Even Donald Trump took a small loan from his father for $1 million.
Small hands,
excuse me. But yeah, she had a lot of advantages in her favor and still can't capitalize on it. Well, I shouldn't say can't. I only listened to the first episode. But it was that bad, I will not listen to it again.
It wasn't My time is my property, and I chose not to invest it in her podcast because it was so bad.
It was that bad.
And I skipped ahead a few, I checked multiple episodes.
Oh, you did?
I skipped ahead a few minutes to say, okay, maybe they just start out reading some scripted stuff, and no, I don't know. Anyway. So, yeah, the best part of that podcast is the reviews.
Is when it ended?
It's a gift that keeps on giving. Well, that's the problem with liberals, man. They have no sense of humor, you know? Or the problem with, conversely, the problem with conservatives or uber patriots, you know, they have no sense of humor about my flag.
I thought you were going to say the problem with women. Okay.
No, dude. It's that's a whole nother episode.
Sorry, I thought we were back on Too Legit for a second. Speaking of a funny podcast you should check out.
Speaking of one stars. Speaking of reviewing. Speaking of reviewing, please clap. Please clap.
Please get David the clap.
Please review. Yeah, again. No, I've never had it. I'm just kidding. Okay.
No, I was going to say never had it yet, and then you just one-up me. Good job.
Well, I'm a monogamous man, so the chances of that are slim, very slim. But please go review my show. No, just rate, review, tell two friends.
I wouldn't mind hearing just blatant honesty.
I don't mind criticism if it's constructive. You know, like
yeah,
I get it. You know, a lot of those reviews are trolling. I get it.
A lot of them were trolling, but a lot of them said
the funnier ones were the ones that were like, I like her, but. You know, like,
yeah.
I like the show, or she's done a couple okay things, but this sucks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If I'm doing something bad, I would really appreciate being told exactly what it is that people aren't liking, and then you work with it.
Yeah.
And it sounds like she isn't really doing anything right. So, Lena, best luck to you. Just kidding. I hope you fail. Oh, this even started. I'm really not trying to be mean. Oh, this is a big review. I'm really not trying to be mean, but this is really not a good podcast. I listen to plenty of podcasts, and this feels so empty. It literally sounds like a bunch of women sadly rambling on with no direction. The most recent podcast seems so all over the place. I feel like it teaches young women to have absolutely no guidance, no morals, and no direction. Eesh. As a female myself, I honestly feel like this podcast is so counterproductive. Unfortunately, this has poor content, poor audience engagement, poor direction, and poor message.
Wow.
Damn.
Well written, well said, and she done scorched the earth, man, with that one. So.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought we were going to end on a high note here.
Yeah, I don't know. It ended on a high note for me. I feel better about my podcast. I feel like we contribute more.
Yeah. Think about all we've done. with a meager setup, you know,
yeah,
in terms of money spent. You know, my audio is okay. My room's not the best for it, but you know, I try to make that up with better technique and
good content.
Hopefully, good content. You know, it's a little hard after.
I understand the Her podcast. It's supposed to be a women empowerment kind of podcast. Speak a lot on the positives, but just her delivery. There's a lot to be wanting from that.
Yeah.
And I mean, best luck to you, Lena. Go ahead and try to fix it up or something.
In the meantime, go find the anti Lena Dunham podcast. I know there are some really good podcasts out there done by women who are, you know, empowered and intelligent and not full on statist gas bags. So go listen to those, and if you hear about them, let me know. And in the meantime, give me a review here.
Do we want to talk about future podcast endeavors? Here?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Let's just keep that on the back burner. But yeah. Let's focus on the one at hand since it's been 6 weeks since I did one.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. You said it took 6 weeks for your last one. I don't feel so bad about the little hiatus we're taking. Yeah, you got us beat by like 2 weeks.
Life gets in the way, man. You know?
It does.
So had to buy a new TV, got a new cat.
Some people might hear it as had to buy a new TV. Oh, this guy bought a new TV.
Whoa, first world problems.
Yeah.
No, my son threw an Xbox controller at my television.
Broke the TV.
In my defense, I've had that. It was only 40 something inches. It wasn't like, I don't have like a 70 that
big,
inch.
Big 65 inch 4K monster.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had like a 40 something inch TV that I've had for like 5 years, you know, and it was great. I was happy with it, not complaining.
Yeah. You didn't have to get
until
a new
my
one.
Son smashed it with Please the controller. So, yeah, had to buy a new one.
Picture quality may not be the same, but those picture tubes or the picture tubes? Yeah, that's what they're called, isn't it? Those things
are CRTs, cathode ray tubes, the big old like 80,
the indestructible, the indestructible ones,
the ones that you want to take out shooting, or you know,
yeah, those ones,
take them out and shoot them.
But man, if you can get past the graininess of it, and you're still using those old coax and AV cords, those things are indestructible.
Yeah,
it's like those old Nokia phones from 2002. It'll go the distance,
dude. And for a while, those CRTs actually had better resolution than like the plasmas
for a bit.
LCD, so
plasmas came out too quick, and then I'm glad LCDs came out, LCDs and the LEDs, and they made them better and lighter. Gosh dang, plasmas are heavy.
Oh yeah, so
yeah.
Well, whatever TV decided to go out shooting this weekend.
Do with your 80,000 rounds.
Yeah. Go. You know where to get the ammo. Go down to the welfare office. And
yeah, it's probably just there behind the counter.
Help yourself. You paid for it, people.
Yeah, ask to use that guy's gun, too. It's part of yours.
All right. So on that high-ish, low-ish note, I don't know. Let's wrap this up, baby.
Yeah, I don't know. It's somewhere in the middle.
So thanks for listening. Sorry about the long absence. It's good to be back.
Back, baby.
A little rusty. A little tired today, but you know, I feel like we got a fun show, and hope you guys enjoyed it. So
we're fueled by good beer.
Good beer, good people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on, brother. This is the ZGY Till I Die, the Zombies Government New Podcast, and I'll see you later.
Later.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Roads.